On, we are learning the Sicha Chelek Tezayin, the first Sicha on Purim. The Gemara brings a story that Esther sent a message to the Chachamim, Kivuni Ledeides. Rashi explains that means that Esther asked the Chachamim to establish Purim for Yidalar and Tesvav Adar for Yom Tif and to read the Megillah. Then the Gemara brings a second statement. That Esther sent the Chachamim another message, Kisvuni Ledeides. I would like that the story of Purim should be written as a Megillah called Esther, and that it should be included in Tanakh. In other words, first, Esther only asked that the story of Purim should be retold each year as on a Yom Tov. And then she requested that it shouldn't just be retold, which could be done orally, but that it should be done from a read from a sefer, from a Megillah, and that it should be written, included in part of the Tanakh. That's in our Gemara, in the Gemara Bavli. In the Gemara Yerushalmi, there's a third discussion that Mordechai and Esther together wrote a letter and sent it to the Sanhedrin, to the Rabbi Sein, to the teachers, to the Sanhedrin, and asking them to accept upon the Yidin the 2 days of Purim as a Yom Tov. In other words, here both Mordechai and Esther together provided the story, the request, not just Esther alone. In general, we try to avoid machlokes, disagreements. So the Rebbe suggests that there's no machlekes here between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, but that indeed there were three different requests presented to the Chachamim. In the Bavli is talking about particularly the retelling of the story of the Megillah, as well as the actual writing of the Megillah, which that was requested by Esther herself. And in the Yerushalmi is talking about the very concept of a Yom Tov, celebrating Purim as Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Shalachmanes Matanis Lev Yoinim. In other words, the other elements of the Yom Tov of Purim, which was a request by both Mordechai and Esther. This idea that there's two different requests, or really three requests, two about the Megillah, retelling the story of the Megillah, and writing the Megillah, as well, and the third request about creating the Yom Tov of Purim, and how the first two about the Megillah and retelling the story was a request of Esther alone, and the Yom Tov was a request of both Esther and Mordechai. The Rebbe says if we look in the Megillah, we could actually see that the source for this two different requests as recorded in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. In regards to the request of creating a Yom Tov, Yimei Purim, a Days of Purim, so we see the Pasuk says that Mordechai Yehudi, the Esther Amalka, are mentioned in the Pasuk. As the Pasuk says, Kasher Kiyum Aleihem, Mordechai Yehudi, the Esther Amalka. That Esther Amalka and Mordechai Yehudi, Kiyum Aleihem, they're the ones who established the Yom Tov that the Yidin celebrated. However, there's a pasuk that says Umaymer Esther Kiyam Divri Apurim Me'ilu V'Nichtav V'Sefer, that the request of Esther, or the words of Esther, were established on the days of Purim and written in the Sefer. So the Rebbe says the two expressions in the pasuk, Divrei Purim Eila, the words of Purim, is the oral recitation of the story that Esther originally requested. The Nichtav Sefer, written in the Sefer, is Kesvuni L'Doides, was what Esther requested it should actually be written. And in being that in that pasuk it only says Umaymer Esther, it doesn't mention Mordechai, so that indicates it was only Esther's request. But the Rebbe asks three questions. Number one, why is it that Mordechai did not request that the story of Purim should be retold and written? Why was it only Esther's request? And the second question, furthermore, Esther made the request of the Sanhedrin. Mordechai was one of the members of the Sanhedrin. So we're to assume that Mordechai actually agreed with Esther's request, which means that although Mordechai on his own did not have this request, but once Esther made this request, it was something that he agreed with. So why would this be something that Mordechai would agree with, but not initiate on his own? And the third question is, that being that everything is exact, why is it that the Bavli shares with us Esther's ideas about retelling and writing the story of the Megillah, and the Yerushalmi is the one that tells us about the establishment of the Yom Tov by both Mordechai and Esther. So before we go to explain this, there's one more Gemara that the Rebbe says we need to take a look at, where the Gemara brings the pasuk from Kapitel Chaf Beis of Tehillim, that Ayeles, Amratzecha Ayeles, and the Shachar, and the Gemara says that Esther is compared to the Shachar, to dawn. Why is Esther compared to dawn? Just like the dawn is the end of the night, so too Esther is the end of all miracles. In other words, even though there's a miracle of Chanukah afterwards, Purim is not the last story that we celebrate. The Chanukah story took place during the second Beis HaMikdash, when the story of Purim takes place between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. However, the Gemara explains that Esther is the last miracle that was recorded in the Svarim in Tanakh, which means that the fact that Esther's miracle was written in the Megillah, as a Megillah, that puts it in its own category of miracles, which means that the Gemara is not just saying that it's in its own category of Yomim Tovim. The Gemara made it clear that it's the end of the miracles, which tells us, therefore, that the story of Esther, the miracles of Esther, the miracle of Purim, is unique that it's written in a Megillah. So that also is something that we have to understand. What's unique about the miracle of Esther, that it was written into the Megillah, and how does this connect with what we've been discussing? So the Rebbe explains as follows. What is the difference that we see between Mordechai and Esther in the roles of the story? First of all, in how they reacted to taking care of the decree. Esther's job was to actually go to Ahasuerus and to try to do everything she can to annul the decree. Mordechai's role was, even though it was an idea of Esther, but who's the one who implemented was Mordechai, was to gather the Yidden, Vitzumo Alai, the Kreskel Yidden, Vitzumo Alai, to gather the Yidden, that they should fast and daven to Hashem. In other words, Mordechai took care of the Ruchnius, while Esther took care of the Gashmius. Esther was taking care of what needs, the Ishtadlus that needs to be done in Olam Hazeh, to take care in this world, to get rid of to take care of the decree, while Mordechai's job was to daven to the Eibishter, that the Eibishter should help to get rid of the decree. Similarly to as it was, how they dealt with the decree, the same thing is also can be said in how they appreciated what took place as a result. That for Mordechai, the primary element of the story was that as a result, there was a miracle, that the Yidden survived, but more importantly, as the Gemara says, that as a result of the story of Purim, the Yidden accepted upon themselves the mitzvah of, or the celebration, the Kabbalah Sateirim, Mikan Medar Rabba L'Raisa, Kimu Mashakiblu Kvar, that the Yidden accepted the Torah that they began to accept and to act upon from Matan Torah became complete at the story of Purim. In other words, that Mordechai was celebrating the Ruchnius that was accomplished at the time. Whereas for Esther, the primary story of Purim is the miraculous survival of the Jewish people physically in this world. Again, so just as Mordechai was occupied with doing the Ruchnius to save the Yidden, for him, the story was the Ruchnius survival of the Yidden. Whereas for Esther, she took care of the Gashmius, she took care of the natural way of getting rid of the decree, and therefore for her, the primary miracle was the survival of the Jewish people. Now let's take a look at how we remember this miracle, and it takes us to the same way. For Mordechai, the primary way to celebrate such a miracle would be in a Ruchnius away. So it's true that Mordechai also was looking for things that we need to do in this world. Or as we say, Niskarim Vinasim, we need to do something to remember it. But the actions that we do are to remind us of the miracles and our thoughts of the miracles that took place. In other words, in connection to the miracle, in retelling and thinking of the miracle, for Mordechai, a thought of the miracle is already a celebration of the miracle. And therefore, for Mordechai, there was no need to actually retell the story, and certainly not to write the story. As long as we do the actions that are associated with celebrating, those actions will remind us in our mind, that will celebrate with our memory the celebration of Purim, a ruchnistika celebration. Whereas Esther, who was seeing the physical side to this miracle, she wanted that there should be a physical experience of this miracle. First, by expressing it in words, which the Gemara calls Maisa Zuta, a minor action. And then she said, we need even a greater action to actually write it physically on a piece of paper or on a parchment, B'dyoi Aklaf Gashmi, ink and parchment. So there should be a physical expression of this miracle. And so therefore, here we have the three elements of Esther and Mordechai. Mordechai was occupied in the spiritual side to annul the decree. Therefore, for him, the spirituality was the primary miracle. And therefore, the remembrance of the miracle could be done spiritually, meaning by in mind. Esther, who was primarily occupied with the physical element of annulling the decree, is celebrating the physical survival of Jewish people, and therefore is looking for a physical expression of this miracle on parchment that should be read and written. And so this explains to us why, when it came to celebrating Purim, Mordechai and Esther together asked for the request, because Mordechai was making the request for the Ruchnistika celebration, whereas Esther was the one who asked for the actual retelling and moreover the actual writing of the story, because she was looking for the physical expression of this miracle. However, this was the way Mordechai, as he saw it from his position. From his position, he saw it as a Ruchnistika experience. And as a Ruchnistika experience, there was no need for an actual physical manifestation of this miracle, meaning of saying and writing it. As long as the Yidden did something that reminded them of the miracle, that was enough for the celebration of the miracle. However, as a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the most important part of the Sanhedrin, is to be able to relate to the people in action, to be able to actually involve themselves, begashmius, with the people and see the people as they are in their physical space. In Oilam Hazah Gashmi, as David HaMelech says, that he was so involved in taking care of judging the people, that his hands were filthy with the blood that he was using to check and to see that a woman should be tar, a woman shouldn't be tamei. So in other words, that you have to be down to earth as a member of the Sanhedrin. So in that case, Mordechai heard the request that the Yidden need a physical manifestation of the story of the miracle to be read, to be said, and moreover written. So he accepted Esther's request, but that was only as a member of the Sanhedrin responding to the needs of the people. This is the first section of the Sicha. The second section of the Sicha, the Rebbe takes these same ideas and he applies it with the ideas of Chassidus, or the language of Chassidus. In Chassidus it says that Mordechai is the level of Chachma, Yisoid Abba, that he comes from Sfiris HaChachma. It also explains in Chassidus that Chachma is Oir, is the light. Similar to what we also see by Gashmias, that Chachma is the idea, the big idea of what's going to be. The Bina, and certainly the Midas, are all a result of the Chachma, of the idea, the concept, what's born. So the idea of Mordechai is the Oir, the level of Chachma, which is Oir. Esther, it says in Chassidus, is the level of Malchus. Malchus is the opposite. Malchus is the last sphera, the last of the 10 spheres. And it's explained in Kabbalah and Chassidus that Malchus becomes Netak Libriya. It becomes the transition from Atzilus, from Malchus of Atzilus. That becomes the source of the will, of the Keser, of the will that there should be the world of Biyah. In other words, in order for there to be a king, there needs to be a nation, Ein Melech B'lo Yam. So therefore, Malchus of Atzilus becomes the source of the energy of Bria. Furthermore, Malchus of Atzilus becomes the Chayas, and all the way down through Bia, through all the levels of Bria Tziyasir, all the way down below. In other words, to use the expressions of Chassidus, what we're explaining before, Mardchai is focused on the Oyer, whereas Esther is focused on the Kalin, on the recipients, on the Gashmias, what comes. In the terms of a miracle, every miracle has two elements to it. Every miracle is a revelation of the Oyer of Hashem, in other words, the infinity of Hashem, which is not limited to the limitations of nature. But the miracles get expressed for us in this world, in the law, in the rules of nature. In other words, that the Oyer of Hashem gets revealed in Olam Hazeh, in this world. That's by every miracle. Certainly a miracle like the miracle of Purim, in which on one hand, if you looked at the story, it was all you saw was natural, the world, the laws of nature, almost chas v'shalom to be seen as circumstantial coincidences that led from one to another until we have the final story of Purim. But really, if we look carefully, this is the words of the Alter Rebbe in Torah Oyer, but if we look carefully, then we see that really it was the Yad Hashem that was stringing together everything of nature. And it's explained in Chassidus that for a miracle that's enclosed in nature, a miracle that utilizes nature itself to bring about the miracle, comes from even a higher level than a miracle that comes from that's above nature, that shatters the laws of nature. So therefore, that means that in the story of Purim, on one hand we have very high Eiris, we have very high revelation of Hashem, a level of Hashem that transcends all the laws of nature to the point that it's actually able to even express itself in the details of nature. It's not limited to even be above nature, it could even come within nature. On the other hand, we have the laws of nature that the miracle is expressing. And what is the purpose of this miracle then? And certainly of all miracles, and certainly a miracle that's within the laws of nature, that the miracle, the Ur, the light of Hashem, should illuminate and transform the nature to reveal that the nature also is also coming from Hashem. So in other words, in every miracle, we have the Ur, the Chachma, the Ur, and the Kalim, the Malchus, the Kalim. Certainly in a miracle that's enclosed in nature, we have these two extremes. And this is the difference between Mardchai and Esther. Mardchai, whose focus is Oyer Chachma, for him the most important thing of a miracle is that the Oyer of Hashem was revealed. Esther, and therefore, to remember the miracle, all we need is an Oyer, the Oyer of the Chachma, the Oyer of the mind, that remembers and relives this miracle, that already is considered the revelation of the Oyer. However, Esther, which is, by the way, why this is to answer the question of why this is in the Yerushalmi. Because in Yerushalmi is, as explained in many sichas, actually in many Purim sichas as well, that the Gemara Yerushalmi is like Ur. That you when you learn it, you immediately come to the understanding of the subject. And it's not question answers and trying to figure out what the solution is. You come directly to the correct svara. So this is the idea of the Gemara Yerushalmi, whereas the Oyer of the Gemara. So therefore, Mardchai in the Gemara Yerushalmi speaks about Mardchai seeking the Oyer of the light of the miracle, trying to see how the Oyer should be remembered by the Yidden for all times. Esther, on the other hand, Esther from the Lashon of Haster, Aster, concealment. Esther's main focus was that the miracle has to come into nature. That the main focus of a miracle is that it's going to transform the darkness, the hiddenness of the nature, and to turn it into a place of light. Her main, to refine the darkness. And therefore, for her, the ultimate purpose is not that there should be a revelation of light, but that the revelation of light should transform the darkness, should transform the nature. And therefore, if we're going to celebrate this miracle, the way this miracle should be celebrated is that it comes into the Lecher, into a physical expression, not only in speech, but even in writing. Dioy al klaf, a ink on parchment, the physical parchment becomes a transformative part of the nature of the world to express the light of Hashem. And therefore, this part that Esther requested that the Megillah should be written is in the Gemara Bavli, because the Gemara Bavli is, as the Gemara itself says, Machshakim HaYishivani, I'm sitting in the darkness. And it's because in the Gemara Bavli, for those who learn Gemara, know that it's a complicated experience. Questions, answers, it's unclear. There's no clarity when you're learning until the very end, and hopefully at the end you have the clarity. And that's the Gemara Bavli. And Esther was seeking to transform the darkness. The Gemara Bavli understood darkness, looking for that transformative moment of where the Gashmius gets transformed by the light of the miracle. Now we can better understand the Gemara, the other Gemara that we brought about Esther being compared to dawn. But if we look first of all carefully, the Gemara said that just like dawn is at the end of the night, so too also Esther is the end of all miracles. So the Marsha asks a simple question. It doesn't match up. The miracles and night. In other words, the end of the night is dawn. The end of the miracles is Esther. Night shouldn't be miracles. Miracles is light. Miracles is illumination, as we said before. But the explanation, according to what we said, is very much understood now. Why do we say, what is the purpose? What's the soif of the miracles? What's the purpose of miracles? The objective of miracles, as far as Esther is concerned, is to transform the darkness. In other words, every miracle brings more and more light into the space of darkness, transforming the darkness into light. What's the soif of Kol HaNisim? What's the end of all the darkness? When is there no longer any darkness? What is the final miracle that's going to transform even the lowest and the darkest of moments? That's Esther. In other words, every miracle gets rid of a little bit more darkness. The soif alayla, the end of the night, the last miracle that we need to get rid of night is Esther. And therefore we understand why Esther is considered the soif, why we say that the last of the miracles is Esther. And the Gemara said, what makes Esther's miracle the last one? Well, there are other miracles that follow, that this is the last miracle that was written. And it was written as part of Tanakh. Based on what we explained, this Gemara makes a lot of sense. The whole idea of writing the Megillah, we explained, was Esther's way of bringing the light of the miracle to transform the Gashmius, expressed in making a new Sefer, a Gashmius, the Kasefer, written in Gashmius of the miracle. This idea of Esther being taking the Gashmius and transforming it into Ruchnius is expressed by writing the story. That is the end of the miracles. What does that mean? At this point, we've taken every miracle that there was to be brought into the darkest of places until everything was, the darkness was completely transformed. And therefore, it's the Soif Kol HaLayla, it's the end of the night. Because this is what the last miracle in which we see that the Gashmius was transformed. Esther wrote it as a Megillah. This also explains why we say that Esther is like dawn. The Alter Rebbe explains that dawn is like the expression of the darkness of the night transforming into light. In other words, in the words of Alter Rebbe, that min ha-choshech, from the darkness, breaks out the dawn breaks forth and brings out light. Again, this idea of the transformation of darkness into light, which is why the Alter Rebbe says the word for dawn in Hebrew is shachar, like we're used to hearing shachris, shachar, because the word shachar actually means shachrus, darkness, black and darkness. Why? Because the whole idea of dawn is that the darkness was transformed into light. So similarly here also, referring to Esther as Sfiris HaMalchus, like we said before, that Esther is Malchus, that the idea of Esther is not to be in Atzilus. It's the level of Malchus as it descends, not only to be a source for the world of Bia, but to actually be present in the worlds of Bria Yetzirah Asiya, in the darkest of places, all the way down to the lowest level. and to transform and make it into a source of light. One more important point. This idea that Esther is able to transform the darkness into light is not just because Mordechai, the Oyer, the light, empowers her to be able to do so, but moreover, because Esther herself, the Pnimius, internally, is really higher than darkness, which is what the Gemara says, Hadassah hi Esther. What does it mean that Hadassah hi Esther? So the level of Hadassah refers to tzaddikim. So even Esther, even the level of darkness, even the level of Hastara, even the level where there's a concealment, is really, Bipnimius is really the level, the person is really the level of a tzaddik. And so therefore, Malchus is empowered to transform the darkness because in truth, Malchus comes from a very high level as it's really connected to the other spheres and explained the Chassidus really even higher. So therefore, this is the Hira, the lesson that we have for each of us as the Rebbe, that when a Yid finds himself in a place of Hastar, in a place of concealment, and he feels that he's dark, it's dark here, he should know that the truth is that in the depth of every single one of us, Bipnimius, we have the ability, the Shachar, we have the ability to dawn, to create a transformation of the darkness into light. And that is the whole purpose of why we're present in the darkness, in order to transform the darkness itself to light. So this is the second section of the Sicha, in which we see that this idea of the of Esther trying to take the miracle of Purim and expressing it in Gashmias, Apichsidis, this is the idea that the miracle is here to transform the darkness of the world. And Esther's focus was that the Gashmias, or the Ruch, the darkness of the world, should be transformed by Shachar, by the dawn, by the ability to take the darkness and the darkness itself to be transformed to be a source of Eir, of light for the Yidden. The third section of the Sichot, that the Rebbe shows that this idea is also found in Nigla in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. In the beginning of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, there are four simanim, four chapters, that we have that are printed twice, or two editions. The Madura Kama, the original edition of the Shulchan Aruch, which is what we have in its, not in its entirety, we don't have the whole Shulchan Aruch of Alter Rebbe, but whatever we have in the set of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch is Alter Rebbe's first version of his writing. The Alter Rebbe then went and made a Madura Basra, he made a second version of the Shulchan Aruch. We only have the first four chapters. The primary difference between them is that the first one, Alter Rebbe wrote according to Nigla, based on the Peskim in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, and so on. And in the second version, Alter Rebbe wanted to write a Shulchan Aruch mainly based on Pnimis HaTorah, on Kabbalah, and so on, at the Paskin in Halacha L'maisa. In the opening Halachas, the Halacha of Shulchan Aruch says that when a person should wake up early in order to serve Hashem, and the halacha is brought from at the conclusion of this halacha, a person has to get up early to serve Hashem. It says that ani meir hashachar ve'ein hashachar meir oisi. That David HaMelech says, I wake the dawn and the dawn doesn't wake me. This is what the Tur writes in the opening of Shulchan Aruch. The Rabbi Yosef Cairo in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, he only brings the first half of the statement. That David HaMelech says that a person should wake up, Shiyehei hu ma'ir ha-shachar, you should awaken the dawn. But he doesn't bring the second half, that the dawn doesn't wake me. So the Taz, who was also a big mekubal, besides being a big Baal Halacha, he writes that this idea of whether the dawn wakes you or you wake the dawn is as follows. That Shachar refers to the Kedusha, to the Knesset Yisrael, the first of the Neshama, the Kedusha that resides in every Yid. And there's two ways. Either you could wake the Shachar, you could Milmata, you could wake the Neshama within you, or Shachar Meir Esi, or the Kedusha wakes you up. In other words, Milmaila Hashem, awakening from above. perhaps in the Eisiv Chassidus, the Rebbe doesn't say this in the Sicha, but the Eisiv Chassidus that we're more used to following is an Esrusa de la Eil or an Esrusa de la Tata, an awakening from above or awakening from below. And therefore, David HaMelech says, I awake the Shachar. I awake my Neshama. I don't need Hashem to wake me up. I'm in control that I wake myself up. But being that this is a high level, only David HaMelech is Shaykh to, so therefore the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring the second half that Ein HaShachar Meir Eisi, that I don't need Hashem to help me. But the obvious question is, even David HaMelech, no matter how great of a tzaddik you are, everyone needs Hashem to help them. So how could it be that David HaMelech is saying, according to the Taz, that I wake my Shachar, I wake my Neshama, and I don't need Hashem to help me? Let's see what the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch. So in the Madura Kama, the first version, which we said before, is very aligned with the Nigla of Torah. Over there, the Alter Rebbe follows the Beis Yosef, that all he writes is, Shehehu Ma'ir HaShachar, you should awaken the dawn. And he leaves out that the dawn shouldn't wake you. However, in the Madura Tninot, Alter Rebbe writes, very fascinatingly, as follows. You should awake the Shachar, and the Shachar should not awake you, and this is Mida Beininus. This is the average way. So the Taz says, Eina Shachar Me'er Oisi, is the level of David HaMelech, which is at Tzaddik, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch leaves it out. Not only does Alter Rebbe quote it, but Alter Rebbe says it's Mida Beinini. And even though Kuvi Alter Rebbe is talking about the whole paragraph of waking up early and serving Hashem is Mida Beinini, but the fact is he says it right after those words, and indicates that these words are part of it as well. So if that's the case, what does Alter Rebbe mean? That not only does Alter Rebbe quote these words, that the dawn doesn't wake me, but he also says that this is Mida Beinini. But based on what we explained before about the level of Shachar, we're able to understand what this means. What did we explain before? That Shachar is the level of the Neshama that helps you transform the darkness. And that every single person, even a person who's in the darkest of places, has this Shachar, has this Neshama that he's able to transform. So now let's take a look at how this applies. But first, let's introduce the three levels of help that we need for Hashem. Number one, we need help from Hashem, not the Chas V'Shalom do an Aveda, which is the Seif Kol HaLaila, that's the end of the night, meaning the darkest point of the night is Chas V'Shalom to do an Aveda. And that's what we need, the special help from Hashem, not to do Avedas. Then we need help from Hashem to make sure that we don't also fall to our Taivas Heter, to our desires that are permissible, they're allowed, but at the same time, a Yid is supposed to Kadosh Atzim, a Mutalach, a Yid is supposed to sanctify himself, not to be drawn into their own desires, even if they're permitted. And therefore, we need a help from Hashem to overcome that darkness. This, the Rebbe says, is like the Shachar coming to the darkness, but not really so much connected to the darkness, because it's Taivas Heter, it's permissible desires. So it's, in the words of Kabbalah we said before, it's like Malchus, Netak lebriya, Malchus becoming the source of Bria, but not actually coming into the darkness. And then there's the idea that we need Hashem to help us to strengthen ourselves in Kedushah itself, to go from one level to the other level, which would be like Atzilus, to be in the world of Atzilus itself. In other words, we can say that there's the three levels of Shachar. There's the level of Ayr, the Neshama, in order to help us overcome at the lowest of levels, not to do an Aveda, to help us control ourselves, not to be attracted and to be lost in our desires that are permissible, and then to be Isaac and to do in Kedusha itself higher and higher. This says that Rebbe could be aligned also with the three levels in Tanya. The Tzaddik only has to deal with Kedusha, only has to do with holiness. The Beinani, as Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, doesn't do any Avedis, but he could still be in a struggle with Taivas Heter, with desires that are permitted. And the Rasha, unfortunately, is dealing with Avedis to overcome not to do these Avedis, and therefore he needs the level of the Shachar, from the level of Shachar, the Neshama, that's going to help him transform the darkness, the darkest of moments, that he should be able to do the right thing. Now, in Nigla, as Alter Rebbe says in Perek Aleph of Tanya, that in the Gemara, the definition of a tzaddik is someone who does a majority of mitzvahs, which means a Beinani, and therefore that means that he could even still have some Avedis. Certainly a Beinani is 50-50, so he certainly has Avedis. In other words, if we're going to follow the Gemara and Peskim the way it's in Halacha L'maisa, what the definition of a tzaddik and certainly a, and even a beinoni is, and certainly a beinoni is that they're shayich taveiros, and therefore says the Alter Rebbe, this idea that I don't need the shachar to awaken me, meaning that I don't need the level of Hashem to help me overcome aveiros, is not something that even a tzaddik can say. A very unique tzaddik, like David HaMelech, can say that. As the Gemara says that he got rid of his Yetzirah, he didn't have any Yetzirahs. But as far as the Gemara is concerned, even a tzaddik has to have help from Hashem, has to have the shachar, help of his neshama, the shachar level of his neshama, the level of neshama that deals with the darkest places to overcome, not to do an aveira. Because as far as the Gemara is concerned, even a tzaddik does aveiras. However, the second version of Shulchan Aruch, which Alter Rebbe wrote according to Kabbalah, Chassidus, which means, like we learn in Chassidus and Tanya, that even a Beinoni doesn't have any Averis. That even a Beinoni never does an Avera. So that means that even the Beinoni doesn't need help. Never mind a Tzaddik. Even a Beinoni doesn't need help to overcome the level of Shachar to overcome the darkest places not to do an Avera. Of course, the Beinoni needs help from Hashem to go higher and higher in the service of Hashem. But this level of shachar that's present to help a yid overcome the darkest moments of aveiros, even a beinoni doesn't need to tap into, because he's not shaykh to do aveiros. And this Alter Rebbe put into Shulchan Aruch, because as Alter Rebbe says in the 14th chapter of Tanya, that every Jew is able to, and therefore has an obligation to try to achieve, to become a beinoni, to never have to do an Aveda, and never be even attracted to do Aveda, never even to think about doing an Aveda, and therefore doesn't even have to tap into this level of Shachar. This idea that the Alter Rebbe tells us that a Yid can be a Beinoni, and therefore not be able to even have to tap into the level of Shachar to transform his darkness because he's not leveled to Shaykh to Tzaddikim, to Avedas. This the Alter Rebbe tells us the very first thing in the morning. Even before we say Maidani, meaning, even before our neshama is really even revealed completely, even at that moment, a yid can jump up and say that I am so strong that I'm not even shaykh to do an aveda. And therefore, I don't even need a special help from Hashem to prevent me. I'm not shaykh to do an aveda. It's not relevant to me an aveda. How can we really ask a Jew to be on such a level? And the explanation is based on what we said before. That even a Jew who's in the darkest of places, bipnimius, internally, like we said before about Esther, that the shachar is really the pnimius of the darkest of moments. So even a person who's in the darkest place, he has to know that bipnimius, he has shachar, he has the strength to overcome and transform it and to be into a moment of complete kedusha. And moreover, on the contrary, the very fact that he's in a dark space, that dark space itself is there to help uncover and to drive him to Mesiris Nefesh, to uncover this level of Shachar that's found within him. So just as it was by times of Esther, and the times of the story in Megillah, as we know the Alter Rebbe says that the Yidden were in a level of Mesiris Nefesh for an entire year to serve Hashem. This level of Mesiris Nefesh is what every single one of us can achieve. And as so too with each one of us, the dafka, the darkness, is what calls out the pnimius of our nefesh, the light of our nefesh, and this expresses itself in Kabbalah's oil of the etzem nefesh, that at every moment we should be able to be a beinoni. So to summarize, the Rebbe says, to bring all three sections of the Sicha together, the Rebbe says that Mordechai was focused on the oil, on the light. However, the story of Purim is called Esther's story, because Esther was the one who focused on bringing the light to transform the darkness, the shachar, the light that transforms the darkest of moments. And why are you able to do that? Because even when you're in the darkest of moments, a yid knows that the depth and the truth within is the pnimius of him, is the shachar, is the ability of the neshama which is present, that's able to make even the darkest of moments a moments of holiness, to the point that he should even be able to be like a Beinoni, that the darkness is not even shayach to him.